Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 43, Jesus says this. You have heard that the law of Moses says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust too. If you love only those who love you, what good is that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. The word there in Greek for perfect means completed, made whole. For the last 2 months, probably, as I have come here to preach, as I prepare during the week to preach, I always pray and I ask the Lord, what do you want me to share this week of your heart and your character and your word and who you are? Every Sunday morning before I preach, I kneel there as people are praying for me and I ask the same question. What do you want me to preach in case I've prepared something during the week which is different than what he wants me to say? Or if something has happened that he wants, that I don't even know about, that he wants to address, I always ask that question. Sometimes I have strong leading from him, other times not. And I just study the scriptures and teach as I'm able from what I learn there. But for about 2 months now, every time that I have prayed that prayer during the week, every time that I've prayed it here, kneeling, he's responded, and he has always responded with only one word, and that word is peace. And I haven't known quite what to do with that. It's been an enormous struggle for me in my soul, and in my teaching and preaching, in my daily life. It's a struggle because preaching about peace is so fraught with danger and misunderstanding, misapprehension. It is so tied up with patriotism and who we are as Americans and whether we truly wish to have God on our side in our actions, in our life. It is just all mixed up for us. It sure is for me. And it's not that I'm afraid to preach about peace because somebody will disagree with me. Anybody who knows me for very long knows that somebody disagreeing with me isn't high on my list of things I consider when I decide what I should do. But the struggle for me internally has been, what is it that you want me to say, Lord? I don't even know what should I share? And it's not that I have any recriminations about our president or any recriminations about other leaders. I wrestle with things they do just like all of us do. This isn't a liberal or conservative thing. It's not a Republican or a Democratic thing. It isn't any of that stuff for me. But rather, what I want to understand in my heart is, what does the Lord want from me? What does he want me to do? How does he want me to respond whenever danger arises? Whether that danger is in Iraq or North Korea or some country that doesn't even have a name yet. How does he want me to respond? And it doesn't take much to go to Scripture and find out. It started with what we just heard here from the lips of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, where he says, the law of Moses said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Do we do this? Man, it's hard for me. I pray for Matt Waterman because I love him and know him, and I'm afraid for him because he's in the Marines. And I pray for our service people all over the world. Do I pray for Saddam Hussein? Well, the truth is I do now. But man, it's hard. Do I pray for the soul of Osama bin Laden? I'd better. Jesus just told me to. I don't like him. I don't like anything he's done. In fact, I hate it. I think he and those who follow him have committed hateful acts. I think the Israelis have committed hateful acts. I think the Palestinians have committed hateful acts. I think the Americans have committed hateful acts. Everybody has committed hateful acts. Scripture tells us that we're all sinners. And yet I know when I begin to think about the dangers that we face, I can become very easily self-righteous about it. Has anybody heard ever a political leader in this country or in any country, when they speak about our actions in the world, has anybody ever heard humility or repentance or acknowledgement of sin from the lips of a leader? Or when there's been a little bit, Bill Clinton, of whom I was not a fan, by the way, just to make this clear, Bill Clinton at one time apologized for something the United States had done and was rained on by criticism because he'd apologized, showed weakness. That was the criticism. Can't show weakness, because you know what happens when you do that. What does Scripture tell us? Proverbs 12:20. There is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but joy for those who promote peace. Joy for those who promote peace. Not accolades, by the way. Not thanks and praise. The joy is about what goes on in your heart, not about what people say about you. There is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but joy for those who promote peace. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. This is an extraordinary scripture. When a man's or a woman's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. James 3:18, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. And Romans 14:19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Now I want to focus on what's just been said there in Romans. This is a really important scriptural principle. This is a principle from the very heart of God. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Think about what Jesus taught. I've preached about this before when Jesus said, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything depends on these two. And then when he was challenged, well, who's my neighbor? The neighbor was not one of those that loves us. The neighbor was a despised Samaritan, the enemy. And in fact, Jesus made the Samaritan the hero of his story. This was highly offensive to his hearers. It would be the equivalent today of my saying something like this, that there was an American who was robbed in Pakistan. And the other Americans around just walked past him. Nobody helped him. There's even a minister there, he walked right past a fellow person from Kansas, let's say, he walked past, nobody did anything, and an Al-Qaeda member came by and saw that he was injured and bound him up and took care of him and took him to a hotel and paid for him to be cared for. If we heard that story, we would be angry about that very description of the person who helped. Because it's despised. A friend of Satan. And yet that's exactly what Jesus did when he told that story to the Jews of his time. Is he illustrated his story with the enemy. And it's the enemy that Jesus has told us to pray for. To pray for those who persecute us. Now how in heaven's name do we expect ever to have a harvest of righteousness if we are not sowing peace? If we are not working for the edification, for the upbuilding of those who are our enemies? Jesus gives the illustration of helping those who are our enemies. Jesus does not talk about bravado. Jesus does not talk about self-righteousness. Jesus does not talk about how to stomp out those who would persecute you. Rather, what he talks about is rescuing them. Building them up. That's what edification means. It means to build up. Paul is saying that in Romans. He's just repeating Jesus' message. This isn't about politics. It's about the heart of God. I have this choice, it seems to me, that I can, as an American, simply feel carried along by the tide, helpless to do anything as a confrontation grows closer and closer and innocent bodies from both sides get thrown into the jaw of the enemy, into the mouth of the enemy, and die. I can do that. I can be carried helplessly along or proudly along, knowing that there is danger in the world and we need to do something about it. It's not about politics. It's not about liberal or conservative. It's whether we are doing what Jesus told us to do, and that's praying for our enemies and praying for peace. Are we doing it, or are we just sitting by hoping that things don't get bad? I don't know about you, but I ain't been doing it. Now and then, not enough. I've not been faithful to what Jesus asked me to do. Haven't been faithful to preach about it. Haven't been faithful to pray about it. And I repent for having failed him in both of those ways. He was very clear about what he wanted from me. He's very clear about what he wants from all of us. And folks, I've got to say, if this makes you squirm, as it makes me squirm, consider that the Lord saying, pay attention. Because I can get really angry about this. I get angry about liberals sometimes. I get angry about conservatives sometimes. I get angry about being manipulated by the media, being manipulated by politicians, being manipulated by the guy down the street. It's not about any of that. Jesus says, pray for your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Anybody can love those who already love them. Find a way to love those who hate you. Find a way to build up those who hate you. Find a way to demonstrate your love to those who hate you. Why can't we have an invasion of love instead of war? Why can't we go and just empty our pockets? We can spend billions and billions and billions on weapons. Why can't we spend billions and billions and billions on people who are in desperate poverty? This isn't about politics. It's about what Jesus told us to do. It's not about Republicans and Democrats. It's not about George Bush or Al Gore or anybody else. It's about what Jesus told us to do and finding the way to do it. And it's damn hard. It's hard to even get my heart right to think about it. Because it's way easier for me to think about just beating up all the people who are mean to me. It's the way we usually think. It's not what Jesus told us to do. And if we really desire to be Christians, to be believers, to have dedicated ourselves to the heart of Jesus and to the heart of the Father, which He revealed, then we do what He says. And what He says is this: you have heard that the law of Moses says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, a member of the Godhead, very God and very man, not Moses, a mere man, a prophet, who said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Jesus, the Son of God, said to us, His followers, I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. God, save us from our sin. Save us from our presumption. Save us from our bravado. Save us from our hatred. Teach us what the Prince of Peace taught. Teach us how to love those who persecute us. Teach us how to love those who hate us. Teach us how to demonstrate that you are truly the Son of God, that they might see by our love for each other and our love for them that you, Jesus, are exactly who the prophets said you would be, and exactly who you said you were, exactly who the apostles said you were, exactly who Christians through the ages have said you are. You are the very Son of God, Prince of Peace. Lord, let us, by our lives as believers, live out what you have commanded us to do. Keep us on our knees for peace, Lord. Keep us on our knees. Amen.